You're listening to the Best of Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Lloyd's Electric Service, Truly Hard Seltzer, MyBookie, Waste Connections of Tennessee, and Volunteer Vodka.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam. Look a little sleepy, Cam. Cody, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, John. It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere on a Thursday edition here, Talk Sports. How was your Wednesday evening?
Wednesday evening was solid, I guess. I like Wednesday TV shows. That was fun. I like my shows on Wednesday. Enjoyed some basketball games. Watched some TV. Can't really complain. Didn't really do anything.
Lakers won last night.
Lakers won. That wasn't really a contest. Warriors stink.
Stupid Warriors.
Warriors stink.
It always feels good, though.
Yeah.
Feels good over them.
All the teams are, you know, looking at the Warriors on the schedule like we're about to take out some frustrations on them.
Yeah, there's been more coming out lately about that. Like I saw an insider article the other day talking about just how much teams want to do that. How everyone is eager to, because just the things they did over the years.
I think that's what happens. I think you'll see that in the NFL, if the Patriots ever start sucking, like once this reign of terror is over, I think you'll have franchises like, oh, man, we owe you 2 decades worth of whippings. Come here and get them.
Imagine how bad the Jets are going to want to beat them.
I think you saw that in the national championship game last year. A little bit. I would have liked to have seen Dabo if he didn't have ties to Alabama. What Dabo would have done. Got to take out some frustrations in Alabama. He called the dogs off in the fourth quarter, maybe because Dabo loves Alabama and also maybe because he remembers when West Virginia did it to him. Maybe.
When they hung 70 on him?
Yeah. I'd imagine the teams in the SEC won't be as friendly. Like if LSU, if Alabama's not as good next year, which, you know, they're still going to be good, but maybe they won't be as elite. If they go into Death Valley and LSU's still rocking, I could see Ed O trying to put up a couple extra touchdowns on them.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen to Alabama the same way as it has the Warriors. Just you get frustrated, you get beat up by somebody for so long, when you finally get a chance to get one over on them, you do it.
I'd love to see Tennessee be a part of that revenge tour, although our coach is from there, so it might be kind of like the Dabo thing.
Yeah. But
I also can't imagine a point where we get to where we can run up the score on Alabama.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, though. I don't know.
Well, you brought it up first.
Well, I know, but I didn't bring up the Tennessee tie to it. But I did look at something yesterday.
Are there some rumors that Pruitt's leaving for Alabama?
No. But I did find something yesterday that kind of caught my eye.
What do you got?
Just in the 2020 game. I was doing my podcast yesterday, and we were talking a little bit about it, and I started looking, and then I was like, wait a second. Did you know, Cody, that Alabama, next year, has 8 straight games, or Tennessee is their 8th straight game, and whereas Tennessee will be coming off of a bye week.
Isn't it like that pretty much every year?
As Alabama comes into Knoxville. Is it like that every year?
Pretty much, I think, because they always have a bye before LSU.
Did we have a bye this year before playing them? I don't recall if that was the case.
So we're coming off a bye next year?
Yeah.
And they will be on 8th straight. I mean,
yeah.
We are typically at the end of their run.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but we don't usually have the bye week right before with a chance to get ready. Like this year, we had Georgia, Mississippi State.
Okay, so we're coming off a bye.
Yeah. 2 years ago, I mean, we had a bye week, then Auburn.
Uh-huh.
Then Alabama.
This year we had a bye before.
This year we had Mississippi State, and we had a bye before Georgia.
Oh, well, that didn't matter.
Yeah.
We also have a bye before Missouri. That's what's happening this week.
Yeah.
Anything else that is good about that?
No, just something to keep an eye on.
Okay.
Something to keep an eye on.
We also play them at home. We
also play them at home.
We've been good at home this year. Well, since October.
I've made the declaration that 2020 Alabama's in play.
Huh.
I've made that declaration. You don't share the same enthusiasm?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Probably not.
Fair enough. I do like the way the 2020 schedule sets up, though.
Is it possible that maybe this is just one of Saban's worst teams? And they come back next year, and they're
yeah, no, it's possible.
Like,
defense is young. They got some freshmen playing on defense,
and they
defense
got all those linebackers that have been hurt that are, you know, they've been out all year.
I know it's going to be hard to see your Crimson Tide take a step back.
Please stop saying
this. Always
that.
Ends, Cody. It always
please,
ends.
Please stop saying.
And once
that.
It starts slipping, I don't know if you get it back. I feel like once it starts slipping, it's gone.
I'm just wondering.
It's the whole hold on to the rope
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't let go of the rope.
I'm just kind of thinking everybody's rope, talking about. Everybody wants to talk about how it's coming to an end.
Okay.
That sounds good.
I've got you
good.
On record. Alabama will keep rolling.
I'm telling
Nick
you,
Saban
it
will
sounds
continue
good.
Winning.
It sounds good.
Okay.
That it's all coming to an end. It's just that, I mean, it's probably not. That's probably not realistic. That's probably not reality. Reality is that they'll probably dominate another 5 years.
Dominate us or dominate the SEC?
Us for sure, and probably the SEC. I mean, as long as he's there.
They haven't dominated the SEC in a while.
Huh?
I don't think they've dominated the SEC in a while.
I mean, they've been doing it for a decade.
I don't feel like they've done it the last couple of years. I mean, they didn't win the SEC 2 years ago. They beat Georgia last year, but I feel like that was because Kirby Smart is stupid and tried a fake punt like an idiot.
Well, maybe so, but
Jalen Hurts came in and just caught them by surprise a little bit. I don't think that they were dominating the SEC the last couple of years. I think you've seen a decline over the last couple of years. It's just people haven't wanted to admit it.
I think,
for whatever reason.
I don't know, man. I think maybe we're just trying to talk ourselves into that.
Okay. And like I said, I don't know if Tennessee will be in position to beat them. I like the way it sets up. I like the way this team is playing now. I would like to see a couple of big freshman recruits that could help in positions of need. But I'm just looking and just pointing out, like, I feel like it's in play next year. I love a good time bye week, and I love that. Really, the bigger thing that caught my eye was our 2020 schedule.
It's pretty difficult.
You think it's difficult? I think it's sets up pretty easy.
Manageable?
Like in the SEC, SEC at least. Like, I mean, going to Oklahoma, that sucks, but I like the way this sets up in the SEC.
Getting Florida at home?
You get Furman before Florida. So you get to play Oklahoma, you get to be tested. Which, say whatever you want about 2015, but I do think playing Oklahoma in 2015 helped Tennessee. I think it should have helped them win that Florida game in 2015. We had a 13-point lead that should have been 14.
I think we had a 17-point lead at one point.
In that game?
Against Oklahoma.
Oh.
Or you mean Florida?
I was talking about Florida. I was saying playing Oklahoma helped us against Florida.
Yeah. The Florida game was 27-14.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't remember a 17-point lead there. No. But we did have, we were up 17-0 against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So I do think that game will help get you tested. And then, like I said, you get Furman and then – you get Florida at home, and I really like how we don't go immediately into Georgia after that. I think that will pay dividends for the season. Not getting beat up early and digging yourself a hole. I mean, you said it. This, you know, if Tennessee was to play Florida this year in a couple weeks, it would probably go a little bit better than it did in September, right?
Yeah, I don't know if we'd win, but it would be a better game.
I would think it'd be better. This team has found itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're playing Georgia at the end of next year on the road and not Florida, but I think if you played them this weekend, which is, you know, today's Saturday, November 14th, Tennessee plays Georgia Saturday, November 14th next year, I think if you were to go in there and play them, you'd have a better chance. against Georgia as well, right? Don't you think? I mean, Tennessee playing better now than they were at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And I like just the breakup of the two big SEC East opponents. So I just like the way the schedule next year sets up better. Like I said, you go Furman, then you get Florida at home, Missouri at home, back-to-back weeks. Trip to South Carolina bye week. Kind of regroup. Then try to beat Alabama.
And we should have a better team next year. I mean, we should have a team that's in position, I would think, to win nine games.
You don't share my enthusiasm.
About what, the Alabama game?
Just about the 2020 in general. You don't share my enthusiasm.
I mean, we got to...
Nah, it sounds like you don't share my enthusiasm.
I think we should be ready to...
I'm bought in on these boys. It sounds like you're not bought in on these boys.
I hope we should be ready to beat one of the big three.
I wanted to go on record saying 2020, Talk Sports was the first one to say Alabama's in play. And you're not co-signing that?
I don't think Alabama's in play. No.
Okay, that's fine.
You can say it.
No, I'm not saying it without you. We're a team.
You can still believe it.
Nope. You came in and you brought me down with your negativity.
I just don't.
Your damn negativity.
I don't think it's in play.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I wish it was in play.
I believe in the boys. You don't.
I believe Florida's in play.
I think Alabama's more in play than Florida.
No. No.
Eighth straight game, bye week, bro.
We saw them lose a game to LSU, and all of a sudden,
they got dominated
the world
by LSU.
Is falling.
And we saw them get dominated by Clemson.
I think that LSU team's pretty good, and I think Joey Burrow's a Heisman winner. And I think
Clemson's great, too. I understand that. But I mean,
we're not quite on that level.
I also think we saw what Alabama looked like this year without Tua.
Okay, and that's fine. But
Tennessee played them and could have beaten them this year without Tua.
That's fine. I don't think we're on that level. I don't think we're ready for that.
They're losing Tua.
We played well this year.
Mac Jones, not scared of him.
Well, there was
a little Tagovailoa, not scared of him.
Well, you got to think those guys will have an off season and they'll be prepared coming into the game. Whereas we kind of caught them off guard when we hurt Tua. I think that has something to do with it, don't you?
I don't know. What was the score when Tua went out?
Well, it was early. I mean, it was.
Yeah, I mean, he'd thrown an interception to Nigel Warrior. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he threw one right to Nigel.
Yeah, you're right. He won't be there next year.
He's not going to be there.
I don't think it's in play.
I understand. You think the tide keeps rolling. I get it. I don't know why we're arguing about the 2020 schedule now.
I don't know.
I came in with a little excitement. Like I said, I was really talking about the Warriors getting destroyed last night by the Lakers, and the Lakers keep winning, and the Warriors, like I said, are just going to be on the receiving end of these beatdowns all year as teams take out frustration. Like I said, I think it's going to happen to the Patriots. I think it's going to happen to Alabama at some point. Just as I think we've seen our SEC opponents kind of take out frustrations on us over the last decade or so. Right? I mean, you know, because yes. we were never on Alabama's level, obviously, or the Warriors or Patriots, but we had our run in the SEC. Where everyone not named Florida usually caught these hands.
Yeah, you know Georgia loves beating us. You know Vandy has loved that they've been able to beat us the last few years. Kentucky, not so much.
Yeah, they don't really get to. They don't get to experience
they
that.
They got one or two, but, you know, not really. I do like that schedule. You move Georgia to the back end, bump up Missouri. We play Oklahoma next year, get to go play Arkansas, which I always love that game. They'll have a first-year coach, hoping we can beat the hell out of them. We play Troy. We've always beaten Troy. First matchup against them since 2012, I guess.
I would assume. Like I said, I didn't mean to start off arguing about the 2020 schedule.
That's just not a shootout.
When you mentioned people getting some comeback on Alabama. Thought about it. I guess it was already on my mind. What's the biggest sports story of the day? Cody gives it to us next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports powered by Lloyd. Apparently, Auburn is installing the LED lights at Jordan-Hare Stadium before next season. Are these damn lights going to be at every SEC field? I'm already over the lights.
Well, you know how Auburn is. I mean, they're little brother to Bama.
They should have more pride, though, right? Like, shouldn't they have more pride and be like, you know what, we're not going to do these stupid lights because we know Alabama's going to say we copied them. Like, just...
That's how I hope we look at it. I hope we have more pride than to go add lights.
We're not going to, though, right? We're going to add the lights. Everyone is going to add the lights, and then everyone's going to have the lights.
I don't like the lights.
I feel like the lights are about like anything else. They looked really stupid when Alabama was flashing the lights as they were getting beaten by LSU.
And they were doing them at dusk also, or at dawn. I always get them confused, right?
I think dusk is
at night.
Dusk is at night.
Right before it turned dark, they were doing them at like dusk. They had the light show. There was still some light outside. It looks silly.
Wait, dusk is what? Dusk is night, right?
Dusk is night. Yeah. Dawn's morning.
Because I love the movie From Dusk Till Dawn, and they go to the strip club
Tarantino.
In Mexico
the night, yeah,
so. At night, and then when the dawn comes up, spoiler alert, that's how they survive the night from the vampires.
From dusk till dawn.
They start shooting holes in the wall, and then light comes in and starts hitting the vampires.
Yep.
It's like the dawn of a new day.
The night is the darkest before.
It just essentially tells you it's the night.
Yeah.
If you said from dawn till dusk, that's just daytime.
Yeah.
That's
just called a day, bro.
That's just a day. So anyway, they were doing the lights at dusk. I didn't care for that. If you're going to do them, at least have it, pitch black dark to do it. But I don't care for the lights. I've told you, I think it looks bad on TV. They've done it around the NFL, too. It's not just Bama,
Yeah, there's Packers. Packers have done it. That's the only NFL team I've seen do it. Is there another one?
I don't know. Maybe it's just the Packers.
The Packers are the only ones I've seen.
I've seen it in a few different games, but okay. Maybe not. Maybe it was just the Packers. It looks bad on TV. I don't know how it looks in the stadium. It doesn't seem all that necessary. I don't think every team's going to adopt this. It's not going to be like the new... digital scoreboard.
What sets apart these programs anymore?
Waterfalls in the athletic.
Well, I feel like everyone's going to have one eventually. I feel like everyone's going to have a waterfall too. Like, is there anything like unique other than like winning?
Good social media accounts, good graphics teams, which I think we're on the up and up when it comes to that. I think we're maybe are we the best of the best? I don't know. I think we're right there. Like our social media, and the graphics people create the different little videos. I saw one yesterday for basketball that was like basically Spotify for Corey Walker.
Mm-hmm.
It was like playing I don't know exactly what it was, but I don't know that you need all this stuff. I think, like you said, just winning and probably just relationships with the coaches.
And money. Like, hey, here's $20,000 to come tackle for us. Like,
yeah,
that works too. I'm just wondering, like, are these lights going to be enough to get people in the stands? Because, like, I do think that, and I have been saying this for a while, and I mean, it's nothing new. Like, I think everyone kind of realizes it now. You've got to make this more of an event. I feel like I'm the fan that college football is going to have to start chasing. You're going to have your diehards that are there every week. Don't get me wrong. But me?
You need a box suite with heaters. And
well, that's not necessarily true. I need that. But if it's not going to be a game of stakes, yes. Like, I'll show up for the big games. Big game John. That's me. I show up when it matters. I go to the Titans games whenever they're playing a big opponent or in the playoffs. I show up to the Vols when they're playing a rival. That you have a chance to beat. That's it. I'm Big Game John.
Big Game John.
I'm not rolling out for South Carolina.
Or Garth Brooks.
I've already seen him, bro. It's fine. I don't want to go sing The Thunder Rolls anymore. The song doesn't hit me. The song doesn't slap like it used to.
I don't know if you can really call yourself Big Game John if you don't show up for,
It's a concert. I didn't say big concert.
Yeah, fine. I mean, when's the last Tennessee Volunteer game you went to?
Florida. The last time I feel like we had a chance to beat a rival. That's what I just said, you idiot. You listen?
You're never going to go to the South Carolina game
or
the Missouri game.
Not anymore.
Even if they made it
If it was 10 versus 15, yeah.
And they made it comfortable,
if
you'd go?
If it was a top 15 opponent, I'll be there. I'm Big Game John.
I don't think you'd go.
I would.
Well, what do you need? You need
recliners? Steaks. No, I need steaks. I'm fine with going to the games if
the
games
steaks,
matter.
Steaks, recliners... what kind of steak? Like filet or?
No.
Ribeyes?
No. AKES, not EAKS.
Oh, okay.
Not the moo. I'm talking about death or living.
There were stakes.
Thriving into the top 10 or winning the SEC East.
There were stakes in the South Carolina game.
No, there weren't.
You called that, what'd you call that, an 8 out of 10?
I mean, for Jeremy Pruitt, not for me, for Jeremy Pruitt, not for the program.
Bowl game was at stake.
Oh, a bowl game. Cool. Yeah. I might be at the bowl game this year. Big game. Big game, John. But I do feel like these stadiums are going to have to try to track people down like me. Or even maybe the ones who are getting closer to being like me. That look and say, this game isn't that important. We kind of got to go ahead and skip this one.
Well, I mean, they're trying to do the renovations. We never even talked about the renovations.
We did a little bit. I asked you if it was important if it stayed above 100,000. Which, I don't know if you heard, but Philip Fulmer has been doing the media rounds, and he's already trying to brace Tennessee fans for going below 100,000. His quote was, "We're already under 100,000 for capacity."
We already are?
That's what he says. I guess I don't know if he means like whenever they're announcing 102,455 or whatever, that a lot of those are workers and people just in the stadium and not actual seating people. But he already got it out. He's out ahead of it and said, "We're already under 100,000 capacity." So he's basically going ahead and bracing people like, "Yeah, we're going to start getting rid of a lot of seats, or at least thousands of seats."
I love having 100,000, but you do got to build for the future. You got to get in the modern era, you know. There's not, if you can't fill it up anyway, which we could if we were good, but maybe they'll do something cute like 98,000, you know?
Yeah.
98,000 because we won the title in 98, mm-hmm. So they'll make the capacity 98,000, and maybe they'll think that people will be okay with that since we're putting a historic number by it, even if we don't have 100K. Is it really that important? I don't know. If you get people there, if you can chase down the casual fans like you and get them to the stadium.
Like I said, I'll be there for the big games. Problem is, in college football, you only play one or two big games at home at most. Right? Pretty much only play.
You don't have playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much only play two big games at home.
That's why we need a 32-team playoff.
Now, maybe in 2024 when Oklahoma's coming back here? Is that when it is? Maybe that year you'll have three big games at home? Perhaps?
Perhaps. If it's an even year, then yeah. Because last time they played here was an odd year, so you had only two, really, Oklahoma and Georgia.
Yeah. Big Josh writes in saying, "Forget the lights. Give me comfortable chair backs and Wi-Fi that works." Yeah. Is the Wi-Fi better this year? I haven't been. Is the Wi-Fi any better?
I don't know.
Or not the Wi-Fi. I guess it's not Wi-Fi. Just the, can you use your LTE? Can you use your data in there?
I don't know. I don't have
to.
You don't know.
You've been to games this year, haven't you?
Yeah, but my phone dies 5 seconds into.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, I don't.
Fair enough.
I don't need that. I don't know why everybody has to have that. So you
I like
get
to
the
check scores
off.
Of other games. I had to get tweets off.
They
like
show
to check
the scores of the other games.
Not
on the,
when you want them.
On the scoreboard.
They don't give you the position. They don't give you where the ball's at and who's doing what.
Is it that important? I mean,
it is to some people. Some people gamble. Some people want to know what's going on.
Well, maybe just don't gamble that day then if you're going to the game.
So now you're asking somebody to skip a whole weekend of gambling when you only get to bet on 12
I mean,
or 13
yeah,
college football weekends?
Yeah, I am.
What if there's a good game? What if you got a good line?
If you want to go to the game, just go to the damn game and watch the game. Nobody watches things anymore anyway because they're always on their phones. Nobody enjoys the moment anymore anyway. Now, I know I sound like an old man.
I wasn't going to say anything about it.
Okay, boomer.
Okay, boomer. But it's the truth. It's the truth.
Nobody enjoys anything anyway. I like to be able to check things. I like to be able to get text messages.
Well, maybe don't get...
Who wants to go sit somewhere for 3 hours without having text messages?
I feel like
Do you take your phone into the stadium or do you leave it in the car?
I take it in case there's an emergency.
Oh, an emergency. When's the last time you had an emergency while at the game?
I really don't have one. I wouldn't need my phone on a game day.
Then leave it.
I would.
Leave your phone everywhere.
I would happily. That
give it here.
Well, I mean,
I'll keep it for the whole week. Give it to me for a whole week.
Not for a whole week. I could have an emergency.
I'll let you know if there's an emergency.
I'm saying, to me, part of going to a game or going to a concert is escaping and going to something that entertains you anyway, right? Like, Why do you need to stay with the real world? Enjoy that moment of the game.
An escape. Are people going to games of being an escape? I've never gone to a game and said, this day has been really stressful. I need to just have an escape from life and go watch some sports.
I didn't mean it like that. I mean, you're
this life's really getting me down. Here's a good, nice escape.
Jesus H. Christ. I'm saying that you're going to enjoy a sporting event. It's the same reason you go to a movie, same reason you go to a concert. You're unplugging. It's not an escape, but you're kind of unplugging from the real world entertained for a couple hours.
Who made that declaration that I have
why pay tickets to go to a game if you're just going to be sending tweets off the whole time?
To scream and watch. To scream and feel like you're making an impact and enjoy and celebrate and give people high fives.
Well, if you feel a need to scream.
I gave out so many high fives at the Titans games. I don't know who the people were in front of me.
Scream in your house.
But those old guys, they wanted to give me a high five every time. And this Chiefs fan started talking trash to me, and I shut him down real quick. He started saying, I'm surprised Tennessee fans aren't very loud. It's really quiet in here. And I said, yeah, sounds a lot like Arrowhead did in the fourth quarter of the playoff game I was at. And then everyone's like, ooh.
Exactly.
And then everyone gave me high fives. They're like, hey, good one.
Yeah.
And that guy just like,
okay, all right. Touché.
And then we made the AFC Championship game last year. And I was like, yeah. And then Brady sent you home quiet again. And then I was like, I got him again.
You didn't really
more
get him. You didn't really get him on that one because the Titans didn't.
No, I did. I said, didn't win anything. You're bragging about making the game.
You guys didn't even make the playoffs last year.
It doesn't matter. They didn't win anything.
I'd rather make an AFC championship than not make the playoffs. But it's beside the point. But, yeah, it's part of the game day atmosphere.
All you got to do is play into Chiefs' insecurities about Andy Reid because they act confident. But then you just have to hit them with, Andy Reid's going to lose in the playoffs. That's where you get them. That's the getting them.
But that's part of the game day experience, right? That's fun.
Yeah, but I wanted to tweet about it. I wanted to send out a tweet. Hey, just shut down this Chiefs fan. I did actually tweet that.
Not everything has to be tweeted. I mean, I like to tweet too, but like, I don't have to tweet the whole game.
You don't have as many followers as me, bro. You don't get it. you don't get it. Maybe one day you'll understand.
You don't have as many followers as a lot of people who don't have to tweet a whole game.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
That's not true.
Reese Witherspoon has more followers than you. She doesn't have to tweet a whole game.
She tweets during movies. She tweets during award shows,
I
bet.
No, she doesn't.
She's a boomer. She doesn't know. Okay. Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
All eyes are going to be on the Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers tonight. Baker Mayfield in primetime again. We're going to get something good out of it, right? Either the Browns win and we get a good game, or the Browns are a train wreck and we get more Baker blow-ups, and maybe this will be the night where Odell Beckham Jr. punches him in the face. Steelers on fire, 1-4 in a row. They go on the road, divisional game, big game. This would be the elimination game, basically, for the Browns if they lose. The Steelers can continue their climb for a wild card spot and to maybe kind of have a chance to chase down the Ravens. I doubt it, but at least position themselves for a wild card. Did you want to do NBA instead?
I'm fine with the Steelers and Browns.
It's insane thing, so I was wondering. Do you have anything to add?
Well, I think that this game is probably more important for the Steelers in terms of continuing their momentum and getting to the AFC wild card.
See, I think it's more important for the Browns just because like they already have 6 losses. If they lose, they're done for.
I feel like they're done anyway, though.
You don't think they have a chance to rally to get to 9-7? Because I feel like they can rally to get to 9-7.
Absolutely not.
I think they have that option. Do I think they do it? No. But
they're 3-6, right?
They're 3-6, but we've looked at their schedule. Like they have a fairly navigable schedule.
But that would mean they'd go 6-1.
After tonight, Dolphins, at Steelers, Bengals, at Cardinals, home for the Ravens, a team they beat 45-20, and at Bengals.
I say they lose three. That's after tonight?
After tonight.
So they say they lose to the Steelers, the Cardinals, and the Ravens, at least.
Okay.
I don't think there's any chance they could go 6-1.
I think I said 45-20. It was actually 40-25 on that earlier game where they smacked the Ravens. Yeah.
Score got me. The Ravens are not going to let that happen again.
Just something to keep an eye on, though, because that schedule's pretty easy, right? I mean, after tonight, they could be 4-6. Dolphins win at Steelers, probably loss. Home for the Bengals, win at the Cardinals. I think that's a win. And then basically your season's going to come down to you'll be 7-7, home game against the Ravens at Bengals. If you win both, you'll be 9-7 and maybe have a shot. Even at 9-7, you're not guaranteed to get there, but you would have two head-to-head wins over the Ravens, so maybe at that point you'd have a shot at the division with the tiebreaker if the Ravens kind of come back to earth a little bit.
Personally, I think they are done.
Okay.
The Steelers are 5-4, so the Steelers have a two-game advantage on them, and I think this game is much, much more important for Pittsburgh.
A two-game advantage with versus them with two games against them remaining, though, which I think is important.
Yeah, that's important, but to me, the Browns have no chance of beating the Steelers twice. They could get a win tonight. I mean, they probably don't think their season's over. It's still a big game for them, but I think it's much more important for the Steelers and much more likely that the Steelers continue this run.
Is the AFC North still up for grabs, or is that the Ravens?
Well, there's a two-game difference there?
A two-game difference, but like I feel like the Ravens' schedule's pretty tough. Like, them winning that game against the Patriots is probably going to lock it up, but they got the Texans this weekend, at the Rams, 49ers, at the Bills, Jets, at the Browns, Steelers. So they still got some work to do to get to 10 wins.
Yeah, you know, we all kind of wrote off Pittsburgh, but, I mean, they've won five of their last six.
They have. Have we written them off too quickly? Because I'm writing them off tonight, too. I think the Browns win tonight.
Well, if you look at Pittsburgh losses, though, the teams
their first
they lost
three
to,
good losses are good. What were they? Patriots, well, so the, Seahawks, and 49ers. Those are first
the,
three losses.
Yeah, and the other one's to Baltimore. So they've lost to maybe the four best teams in the NFL.
Maybe.
That may be their four losses. And all of them were close besides the New England blowout in week one.
Now, I will say that 49ers game I kept up with closely, and that was the 49ers fumbled and turned the ball over three times, like, and just kept giving Pittsburgh short fields. Like, they tried to give that game away, so the final score is a little bit deceiving in terms of them going head-to-head with them. But either way, like you said, it's just a loss. Like,
well, I remember,
we're not talking about it being close. We're just saying you lost. Your four losses are to, you know, four teams that should be in the playoffs.
Maybe. I think maybe the four best teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, perhaps.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
So, you know, and I know the Seattle game was close.
Top four teams we had in our power rankings, right?
Yeah. And the Seattle game was a two-point loss. The Baltimore loss was an overtime. So we wrote them off because they were 1-4. At the time, I don't think anybody realized how good Baltimore and San Francisco really were. They've now won five of their last six. They've beaten the two L.A. teams. They've beaten the Colts. I mean,
this is a huge game for Pittsburgh. I don't, the AFC North must have just had a tougher, like, schedule at the beginning because even the AFC North, and maybe it helps whenever you see the Bengals on there twice. Like, most of these teams are playing the Bengals. But, like, the Steelers at Browns, at Bengals, Browns at Cardinals, Bills at Jets, at Ravens. I mean, the Jets stink. I think the Cardinals are not good. The Bengals stink, so there's three wins there. Pittsburgh should already have eight. Yeah, if they can beat the Browns and split against the Bills and Ravens, they could find themselves at nine wins pretty easily.
Pittsburgh should get to the playoffs. They should. I think they'll still contend for the division, and I think that more likely they'll be an AFC wildcard contender. But this is I maintain this is bigger for Pittsburgh. I'm not taking Cleveland serious anymore. I'm done with Cleveland.
I'm going to give Cleveland one more shot tonight, and I do think Cleveland wins tonight.
Really?
I do think Cleveland wins tonight. I'm just not taking Mason Rudolph on the road. And if you look at their wins,
They have not been on the they beat the Chargers on the road.
Yeah, but that was on the road in the sense that it was just in LA, but there were 85% Pittsburgh Steelers fans. And Pittsburgh travels, don't get me wrong. Like they can go take over any stadium, but we all know the Chargers are the most susceptible. I'll be interested to see what type of crowd there is tonight, primetime in Cleveland. Like, can Pittsburgh get 30-40% of the fans in there? Maybe. But as much as we talked about the good losses Pittsburgh has had, Cody, have you seen their wins?
They've beaten the two L.A. teams, the Colts, and then the Dolphins and the Bengals.
Yeah.
That's three decent wins, though. I mean, two easy wins, but three decent.
Two easy wins. They beat Brian Hoyer because Adam Vinatieri shanked a field goal.
That's on Adam Vinatieri.
It's on Brian Hoyer, too. So, I mean, like, they beat Brian Hoyer. We saw what the Colts are of Brian Hoyer. They lost to the Dolphins, so I'll call that three easy wins.
Okay. If you want to call it that, it's fine.
Now, the Pittsburgh defense, like, we laughed at them for trading for Minka Fitzpatrick, but that defense has been really, really good since they got Minka Fitzpatrick. And they got T.J. Watt, who I don't think is going to be able to do enough to get Defensive Player of the Year, but he'll be on the ballot, right? Like, he'll be in the top five probably. He's been really, really good.
Minka Fitzpatrick has been a game changer in these games.
Both Minka and TJ Watt should be in the consideration for Defensive Player of the Year. I just think the Bosa brothers are going to have a big lead on both of them.
Who needs JT Watt when you can get TJ Watt? And the games.
Who is JT Watt? Who is JT Watt?
J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Who needs J.J. Watt when you can have T.J. Watt?
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Okay, I was just curious.
Obviously, that's who I was talking about.
Well, you looked really confused even after I asked you.
I could not think of his actual name.
Okay.
The games that they've won.
His actual name is J.J., right? Surely he's got like.
It usually stands for something.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Jumpin' Jack.
I doubt it's Jumpin' Jack Watt.
Jumpin' Jack Watt.
Maybe, although they do like to work out. I was going to guess something like John Jacobs.
I have always hated names that are like that.
Like, short names?
Like the two letters and then the name. I've always hated that. Like JJ, TJ, JR, CJ, stuff like that.
Justin James.
I've always hated the two-letter names like that.
I mean, what would have been wrong with just going with Justin?
Yeah, do you need the James?
Well, I just mean his middle name. I mean, most people have middle names. I just mean like him having to go JJ.
It'd be like me calling myself C.M. McClure. What a stupid name that would be.
C.M. McClure actually sounds pretty cool.
TJ's name is Trent Jordan.
Trent Jordan.
I feel like you got to have a J in there.
I feel like C.M. McClure is pretty damn good. But maybe because I just have an old friend on the farm, this old man named C.M., and he's kind of cool.
Do I seem like him, though?
No, you don't. But he's cool. He's always wearing a cowboy hat, carrying around a bunch of money. Every time I go to the casino, he's at the blackjack table for some reason. He's like, "Oh, hey!" And I'm
every
like,
time
hey.
You go, he's
every
there.
Time I'm good, every time I'm there, he's there.
Maybe he lives there.
No, I just think we go at the same time. I don't think he lives there because I see him sometimes in Sweetwater too. His name's CM, and it's cool. Cool man McClure is what we'd call you. Can we start calling you CM McClure? At least try it out.
I don't think it works.
I make a motion. Cam, do you accept it? All right, let's take a vote.
I'll talk to CM.
I'm in favor of it. Raise your hand if you're in favor of changing Cody's name to CM McClure.
Nay.
Two majority rules here. We got two versus
nay.
One.
Nay.
Overruled. Sorry. It's in action. For the rest of the week, you will be CM. CM McClure. Congratulations.
I don't want to be that.
I'm sorry, CM. That's just the way it's got to be.
You'll
can't decide your own nickname.
You're going to forget it. You'll both forget about this.
I'll be able to make it at least through the week. No, I'll be able to make it
you'll
through the week,
forget
CM
about
McClure.
It by tomorrow. There's 2 days left.
That's the point.
Today and Friday.
I will be able to remember one more day, CM McClure.
I guarantee you will not say it tomorrow. You will have forgotten.
How much do you want to bet?
Well, now that
you have made your bed, buddy,
well,
you're going to lie
in it. Now that I proclaim it, now you're going to try to.
I'm going to go out of my way to call you CM McClure as many times as I can until the rest of the world calls
you
CM McClure. You
won't remember it next week.
I will, too. When do I forget things? You don't think I'm organized? You think my memory is bad? I feel like I got a pretty good memory.
No, you do. You do.
I'm going to remember.
But it's just
you're
not
CM McClure.
It's not something you'll keep going.
You just wait till hour three headlines, CM McClure. You're about to be on a collision course.
Don't call me that. You make me sound old when you call me that.
It wouldn't work for me. If I could go by that, I would. But I J.M. Reed.
J.R. J.R. Reed.
My middle name's Marcus.
J.M.
Yeah, it doesn't sound cool.
J.M. would not.
I mean, JM by itself is all right.
CM doesn't sound good.
CM doesn't sound as good by itself, but with the McClure, it sounds really cool.
I think you need a J no matter what. If you're going to do the two-letter name, you got to have a J.
CM's good. CM McClure. Wow. It sounds like a trucking company, too.
That does sound like a trucking company. That sounds exactly like a trucking company.
CM McClure coming to pick up
your
freight.
Call me JB Hunt.
Yeah. That sounds like a trucking company, too. We'll talk some fantasy next. Send in your questions. We'll get to them. Congratulations to Vaughn. All right, let's talk some fantasy. It's getting down to the crunch time for a lot of people. You know, I'm in like five leagues that I really care about, and two of those leagues I'm 4-6, so it's kind of make or break time for me in those leagues. Need a big week. I know a lot of people are in that same situation in terms of needing something to go well this week. You can't really afford any more losses. Let's start. We got a female fantasy question coming in. Don't get too excited, Cody. She's just wanting to know if you would play Matt Ryan, who didn't practice today against the Panthers. Or hasn't. Well, yesterday he didn't practice against the Panthers. Or Carson Wentz against the Patriots.
What do you mean, don't get too excited?
Just said a fantasy question coming from a girl. Didn't want you to get too excited.
There's no women in the NFL.
Okay. Who would you rather have, Matt Ryan, Cam, who didn't practice against the Panthers, or Carson Wentz against the Patriots?
I'm still playing Matt. I think it was more precautionary why he didn't practice.
You are our Falcons expert, so this is – if I tell this girl the wrong answer, this is on you.
They were just giving him a rest because he was coming off an injury and he played this past week. So
just a little low management.
Yeah, exactly. So they're just giving him a break from that because, you know, he knows the offense. They don't really necessarily need him in there at practice. And, I mean, when he's played, he's been pretty good this year, so I'd probably still stick with him. And, yeah, they're running a third-string running back starting this week, so I think they're going to be passing a little bit. They'll try and get the run game going again, but it's going to come down to Matt Ryan again. So,
and let's keep in mind, I got Carson Wentz in a couple of my leagues. I have him benched. I'm not playing him against the Patriots secondary. Like, let's not forget the Patriots secondary is still a really big problem.
It is first in the league against the pass.
And the Eagles, when they have had some success offensively, it's really them kind of pounding the ball all of a sudden. They've been running a lot with Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard and kind of figuring things out on that end. All right, David asks, Carlos Hyde or Marlon Mack? Do we have an update on Jacoby Brissett? Is he playing?
I think he's supposed to play.
Okay. Either way, imagine he'll be 100%. Marlon Mack is going to get a big workload, but that also means there's going to be people in the box. T.Y. Hilton, is he in or out? What's T.Y. Hilton's latest?
I haven't seen an update on him.
Let me get an update on T.Y. Hilton, Cam, if you can, because, let's see, the Texans play Baltimore.
Colts play Jaguars.
This is kind of close, in my opinion. I would probably go with... I think in this situation, I'm going to recommend going with the better offense. I think Houston will be having more scoring opportunities than I think the Colts will. You might need a touchdown from Carlos Hyde to make it a good day. I'm not excited about either one of these guys, but I would give my personal recommendation. I would start Carlos Hyde just because I think this offense is going to move the ball more than I do think the Colts will against the Jaguars.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton is unlikely to return.
And that's not good for the Colts. And that might mean Marlon Mack gets more touches, but it also means there's going to be more people in the box. Deshaun Watson will be able to spread out the Ravens and, like I said, move the ball a little bit better, maybe get some goal line opportunities. My official recommendation, Carlos Hyde. Cam, you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I think coming off the bye, Houston will probably have a pretty good game plan and try and get the backs involved because they do want to keep that pressure off Deshaun Watson with that offensive line being, you know, what it is. So, yeah, and like you said, they're going to load the box and make either Brissett or, if it ends up being Hoyer, throw the ball.
Marlon Mack doesn't catch enough passes.
Not too.
In my opinion, Marlon Mack doesn't get the ball enough in the passing game to really save his value. Because some of these running backs just have value that they're going to catch passes. You'll be able to save some days just because of that. All right, next one up. Let's look and see. We got Dustin asks, would you play James Conner tonight against the Browns or Leonard Fournette or Austin Eckler? Pick one. I would probably, let's see, Cleveland is the 10th best against running backs in fantasy football, but James Conner kind of represents what we were talking about with Marlon Mack. James Conner does get the pass catches. He does get the dump downs, especially this year with no Big Ben. They throw the ball to the running back a lot, so I do think you could pencil in James Conner for almost 15, 16, 17, 18 points. So I think he'll get to at least 15, at least, because he'll have six catches tonight. Six catches for 40 yards is at least what he's getting through the passing game. Who does Austin Eckler and the Chargers play? They play the Chiefs?
Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah, which sounds...
He's defense, but...
It sounds promising, but I would say that I would expect a much bigger game from Melvin Gordon than Austin Eckler.
I agree.
Gordon ran really well last Thursday against the Raiders, and as you saw Derrick Henry run for a 180 against the Chiefs, you need to run the ball, pound the ball. I would expect Melvin Gordon to have a bigger game. Fournette and the Jaguars play the Colts. I think right now the Colts are the 12th toughest defense against opposing running backs. So I think my official recommendation, I would go with James Conner tonight. Just because of the pass game. He said it's PPR, I'd go there.
I agree, too. And with Jacksonville, with Nick Foles coming back, I think they're going to test him and try and make him beat them, throwing the ball, see if he's a little rusty coming back from injury. So they'll probably load the box against Fournette there. The Colts will.
Jarvis Landry or James White? Patriots got the Eagles. Jarvis Landry tonight against the Steelers. Jarvis Landry's turned into Baker Mayfield's go-to receiver, which he was last year already. They kind of got away from that earlier this year because they just couldn't figure out what to do when it came to the passing game. But the last couple weeks, Jarvis Landry, 10 targets, 9 catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown. 13 targets, 6 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown. Against New England, 10 targets, 5 catches, 65 yards. So last 3 weeks, and he's gotten double-digit targets in every week. Yeah, he's Baker's like go-to guy. I think I would go with Jarvis Landry over James White.
I agree. You can't argue with that volume. Like, he's getting opportunities for sure. So, especially if it's PPR, for sure. That's if he gets 8 of those 10 targets. That's what you want to see.
Patriots defense or the Vikings? Who you got? Who the Vikings play this week? The Vikings play.
They Denver. Play
Denver.
Denver.
That's a tough one. I'd probably still
Aren't
go with the Patriots.
Starting a new quarterback.
That's true. Yeah, go with the Vikings defense. Yeah, although he looked
they're
good.
Projected.
He lit up. 10. Yeah, he lit up Cleveland's. He lit up Cleveland's defense when he played. Now, obviously, Vikings a little bit better. I would probably still go with the Patriots defense. That was a top 20 player before Baltimore.
Yeah.
I think I'm still starting them. They need to show another week that they aren't elite before I start benching them.
The Patriots defense?
Was a top 20 player heading into the Baltimore game.
Yeah, you should never not start them.
That's what I would think. John writes in, my friend thinks his level 38 elf should outrank my level 33 enchanted wizard. Would casting the spell of Gobbledore on his dragon enchantress be a proper response? Cam, yes or no?
I think so. I think that's what you'd have to do there. Yeah, you definitely got to cast that spell.
So you say to cast the spell of Gobbledore on his dragon enchantress. That's a proper response?
Yes, but don't take my advice with more of a grain of salt.
Oh, so he doesn't sound very confident in it. Cody, is that a proper response?
What's the question?
His friend thinks his level 38 elf should outrank his level 33 enchanted wizard, which he's five levels higher. But an elf should not outrank a wizard unless it's within 10 levels, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think an enchanted wizard would always outrank an elf, even with the 5-spot difference there.
So you would you cast the spell of Gobbledore on his dragon enchantress just to kind of send a message?
I would. I would go ahead and cast that spell.
I think I would show
on
a little,
his dragon?
Yeah.
Where is his dragon?
His fortress. His fortress. His dragon. Yeah, he wants to cast a spell on his dragon enchantress.
On his own dragon.
No, on the other guy. The guy with the elf.
What is he playing?
Fantasy, dude.
It's fantasy.
No, I know, but what kind of game is this?
I would say to hold off for now, John. I would say to hold off. Show a little restraint. He might want you to try to do that. You got to be a step ahead. Just show some restraint. Everything will work out in the end. Cousins at QB with Cook and Rudolph, or go with Brady when he has Sanu?
Cousins.
Brady against the Eagles. Yes, Sanu.
Denver. I don't know if I'd go Cousins against Denver.
Philly secondary stinks, man. Go Brady and Sanu.
Yeah, don't they? They actually have, like, they're one of the worst against the pass.
Yeah, go with Brady.
Yeah, probably so.
George Vall wants to know, is Garoppolo trustworthy enough to pick up off the waivers
He's
for a bounce back against,
the
Cardinals?
He's going up against the worst defense.
Last time he played the Cardinals, he had 4 touchdowns.
The Cardinals are 32nd in terms of defense. So,
Cam, you got turn left ready for to preview Homestead?
Yeah.
Let's preview Homestead next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Boyd's Electric Services is the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance infrastructure, and commercial building services. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. The LES Facility Service Division believes that facility maintenance should include it all. HVAC and refrigeration, Boyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, commercial and industrial units, chillers, and restaurant equipment. Telecommunication, Boyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your network. Their around-the-clock service repairs are available anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. Commercial, industrial, residential, Boyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Boyd's Electric Services, your business, our priority.
We've turned left. We've done that. We're about to do this or that. Last night in the NBA, let's start with Memphis. All right, let's start with their home state team. We had Ja Morant, game winner. Memphis beats the Hornets. Ja Morant played pretty good, had his first clutch moment. We've already talked about the Lakers, 9-2, roll over the Warriors. Something to keep an eye on with the Lakers is that the rest of this month, really easy. The Lakers already sit at 9-2, could probably easily be 16-3. Or 15-4 at the end of the month. So they're going to be able to get out to a really fast start and continue this fast start through the end of November.
One thing I'm a little concerned about is the first part of the schedule was easy too. And the Lakers are rolling, but their two toughest tests they've lost to the Raptors and the Clippers.
At Dallas, at San Antonio, were both decent tests. They beat Utah at home. So they have played in Phoenix on the road. I mean, those teams are quality teams. I think the Lakers before yesterday's games, I don't know how it's been affected, but I want to say the Lakers had the 10th or 11th toughest schedule so far this year. So it wasn't like they've had a cupcake walk. I mean, that's not me. That's not my opinions. Those are like what the metrics say or whatever. The schedule rankings had.
I thought their schedule was pretty easy. So
I mean, they've had Charlotte on there, but like I said, they've played some teams that were either in the playoffs last year or
are the Phoenix Suns good now.
They have been good through 10 games. They're 6-4. The Clippers lost to the Suns. So the Suns, they beat Steph Curry when Steph Curry was still playing. So, I mean, the Suns haven't been bad.
Yeah.
So the Lakers, I mean, they have had not the toughest schedule, but not the easiest schedule, but it is still light through the end of November. So they could be there at 16-3 or 15-4 at the end of the month with a nice little lead. Although the Clippers do get Paul George back tonight, which they're probably going to need. They'll probably have a chance to showcase him and let him kind of be the main guy, because I'm guessing Kawhi Leonard's not going to play tonight on the second night of a back-to-back, but we are supposed to get our first look of Paul George.
Could see some load management for LeBron, you think, in the coming games?
LeBron said no. LeBron said if he's healthy, he's going to play. Last night he could have easily said against the Warriors – Anthony Davis was sitting out with an injury, but, I mean, LeBron still went out there and played and only had to play 26 minutes as they were able to kind of just play the bench guys a lot because they were dominating that game. But LeBron hasn't missed a game so far this year, and traditionally he's not a load management guy. Like, he's not somebody who does that. He says if he's healthy, he's going to play. Now, being healthy is the key there. Like, could he get banged up and it makes sense to rest on the first night of a back-to-back or something? Maybe, but I think he's got a chip on his shoulder this year.
I've seen the people that talk about load management that kind of have a problem with it, as you know, the you bill it as a superstar coming to your town and then he doesn't even play.
Mm-hmm.
Would it not make more sense for the guys, if they need some load management, to just not play a lot of minutes? Like, you put them in the starting lineup, but just have them play 20 minutes or something?
That's what some people have said, sure.
I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good strategy.
That's what some people have said, sure, that you could still play and, you know, get your 20-minute run in, but.
Right. Just like a little workout, you know?
Yeah.
Get a little workout in.
It's possible.
Maybe we'll see LeBron do that a lot this year.
Right now, the Lakers are at the top of the NBA. They are, I want to say, before last night's game, they were second in defensive efficiency. So the Lakers have been really good defensively, which is funny because everyone said LeBron James had quit playing defense. And the Lakers all of a sudden have two really good rim protectors, one elite in Anthony Davis and one that used to be elite that's good right now through 11 games in Dwight Howard. And then all of a sudden you remember, oh, wait, the Lakers have six guys who have made all defensive teams before. Now, like, Rondo's not in his defensive prime, and he's probably not even a good defender anymore, but you take Danny Green and Avery Bradley, who's been pretty good on the perimeter, LeBron, Dwight, and Anthony Davis, you have some good defensive guys. So the defense has been really good.
Yeah, and they're only giving up 100 points per game on average, which is
a lot, or which is not a lot in today's NBA, right?
It's it's the third lowest, I believe. Other than the Jazz are giving up 99.5,
but the Jazz play at a lot slower pace than the Lakers. So,
and then the Magic are giving up 99.1,
who are also playing at a slower pace. Like, if you look at just the Jazz, they score 104 points a game,
right?
And the Magic scored 99, whereas the Lakers are getting up and down at 110 points per game. So,
good defense.
So far, they've been really good. They got the best point differential in the league. Second on there and first in the East are the Boston Celtics. The Celtics off to a hot start. Now, they have, Cody, enjoyed that weak schedule that you talked about the Lakers. However, the Celtics, you look, and they have beaten a couple good teams. They've beaten the Bucks and the Raptors, both early in the season in the first, you know, four games. But they beat the Raptors in Game 2. And they turned around and beat the Raptors and the Bucks in Game 4. In that Bucks game, they were down big at halftime and then caught fire in the third quarter. But the Celtics are 9-1 right now and no real signs of showing up. What you've seen there with them is just relief. You've seen relief of not being around Kyrie Irving and not even having two other guys in the locker room that were, I don't want to call problematic. I don't think they're problematic, but they are guys who are either selfish, like Terry Rozier, or ball stoppers like Marcus Morris Sr. Like, both those guys are kind of guys who want shots, and either that or, you know, want to be on the court at crunch time. Now you have removed three guys from the equation who weren't necessarily the best passers, and you've got a more defined role, and you've seen Tatum and Brown kind of thrive, and so far Kemba has been really, really good from three. He shot 44% from three. I don't know if he can continue that rate. I don't think he's all of a sudden morphed into a 44% three-point shooter. That would be by far the highest he's ever had in a season. But so far, you've had a reminder of, hey, Brad Stevens is pretty good, at least in the regular season. I still have my questions about Brad Stevens in the playoffs. But Kemba has been really good for Boston. Now, we'll see it whenever they They're headed out west. Golden State stinks, but then they'll play the Kings, who have been playing better, the Suns, who have been playing good, the Clippers, and Denver. So we're about to learn more about the Celtics. Maybe not Friday against Golden State, but their next four games are against teams that I consider good. So we'll see what the Celtics can do there on that west road trip. Speaking of the Celtics, let's do a little VFL update. Grant Williams missed his lone shot last night, a three-pointer.
He's not been very good.
He's
in the times I've seen
him. He's not been good defensively. You have seen him lose a lot of his minutes. Last night scored 2 points, grabbed 3 rebounds, had an assist, a steal, and a block. But right now, some of those questions we had about him shooting, they have came true, at least. He is shooting 0 for 14 from 3. He has yet to hit a 3-pointer. Once he gets the first one to fall, maybe he'll get some confidence, but he's kind of pressing right now on his jumper, and he's going to have to be able to stretch the defense and hit some shots if he wants legit minutes and legit playing time. Same thing's kind of happening in Philadelphia. The storyline I'm really afraid of as a Tennessee fan is that I really think Philadelphia is going to turn on Tobias Harris soon. I think Tobias is in their crosshairs.
What more would you expect from that city?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's justified at this point. He's shooting 7.7% from 3 in November.
Mm-hmm.
He is 0 for 18 in his last 5 games from 3, and they gave him $180 million for 5 years. So he's getting paid like a superstar, which is dumb because I don't think anyone thought he was a superstar or had superstar potential. He's ideally your third or fourth option on a team.
Not his fault.
It's not his fault that they're giving him that money, but it's also there's a reason I think Tobias Harris has been on, what, 6 different teams as a player. I think you keep waiting for this potential, and you're like, ah, oh, this guy's good, but somehow keeps getting paid like he's great. I'm really worried about him as he has struggled from 3, like I said, 7.7% in the month of November. He had Jordan McRae get in, score 4 points last night. Josh Richardson had 19 points, 6 boards, and 5 assists. In Philadelphia, so some Tennessee guys holding it down, at least last night. Kind of sad that Jordan McRae outscored Grant Williams, but either way. I mean, I know McRae was a pretty good scorer here, but you would think that Grant would.
I'm fine with McRae outscoring Grant Williams.
Okay. Either way. So Paul George back tonight. We'll get our first look at him and maybe see the Clippers hit another level. They've been coasting. They'll be the team that's talked about the most when it comes to this load management stuff. Cam, thanks for tweeting it out last night and showing me appreciation. I did give you guys winners last night. I did give you guys winners last night by saying, hey, take the Rockets straight up and take the Raptors in Portland. I'm a little bit worried about Portland. I do think their playoff spot is well open for grabs. I think Portland's playoff spot, they're going to lose it. I think the Spurs are probably going to lose their playoff spot. So you have an opportunity for some new teams to get in there. Obviously, the Lakers are going to be one in the West that takes a playoff spot. Right now, I would say I feel like Minnesota is going to be another that takes that playoff spot. And then we'll have a race for the last spot between Dallas, Phoenix, the Spurs. I think the Kings can get back in it. And then maybe Portland if they can get right. But they look broken right now. I know you don't care at all, really, right now about this, but
I care about the Lakers.
Okay.
You know what I think's not getting enough attention?
Give it to me. What do you got?
The NXT in the WWE. I think you got some good pure wrestling in there.
I think it gets a lot of attention.
Does it?
It's well respected.
I've had to watch it before Rick, and I've enjoyed watching that more than the regular WWE.
Everyone says that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there must be a good reason for it.
It's because Triple H is running it.
Oh.
And everyone's like, we really got to get Vince out the paint so that we can have Triple H run it because he knows what he's doing.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why everyone says that. That's why everyone says that, but because Triple H runs NXT and everyone's like, this is so much better and it's more authentic. The promos aren't scripted for kids. Like, you just let good wrestlers. Most of the NXT guys, not that I don't know if you actually care, but most of them are from the indies and, like, actually, like, earned their dues and, like, had to be good to get a tryout there.
I saw a good match.
Those guys are good.
There was a big guy. I don't know his name. He's very athletic.
Okay.
He's, like, 300 pounds. He's a big guy.
Okay.
And he can do, like, front flips.
I don't know for sure who you're talking about.
Back flips.
I don't watch NXT all the time.
He's a black guy.
Okay, I don't know his name, but I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he's a beast.
I don't know his name either, but I really enjoyed watching his match.
No, he's good.
I've seen him wrestle twice now. He's very athletic.
Like I said, that's why a lot of people still kind of hang out and watch wrestling because they're like, eventually this will just be the main product. And
yeah, there's some good pure wrestling.
Yeah.
I think we should go back to that as opposed to the just, you know, whatever the crap is that Vince is doing. So,
all right.
So, who do you like in the NBA games tonight?
Kind of a light schedule tonight. Like, you'll get Clippers, Pelicans, that game stinks. Bulls, Bucks stinks. Mm-hmm. Porzingis returning to New York, that kind of stinks. The Nets at Nuggets, another bad game. I'll probably just watch mostly the Hawks and Suns and the NFL game tonight. But through 10 games, I'm really impressed with the Raptors. I tweeted it out, but I'll say it here on the air too. Right now, you can get the Raptors at 9.5-1 to win the East. I feel like that's a good bet, man. I feel like Siakam has a chance to get into the top five of the MVP race as well. And I think Siakam will be an all-NBA player. I was really impressed watching him so far this year, especially last night. That's my one take I wanted to get off. Plus 975 on my bookie, so maybe worth a flyer. Because I think the Sixers might be broken. And I think they might be headed for a bad season. Just of underachieving and maybe firing the coach or maybe trading Ben Simmons.
That's a board bet, right? You got them, I got the Bucks.
Is that a board bet?
I think it's Sixers, Bucks.
Oh, yeah. No. But the one team has to win the East?
Yeah.
So it's like the World Series bet? It's not just like who lasts longer?
Yeah. Okay. Just win the East.
How are the Bucks looking?
They're looking fine. They're looking good. Giannis is probably going to win MVP again. All right, Cam, this or that topic. Sorry if I keep running into your time.
I got you can only watch one, streaming services or cable.
Streaming services or cable.
Next 5 years, Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson.
Next 5 years.
A woman, sexy or funny.
All right, we'll play some this or that next. Let's talk sports powered by Lloyd's Electric.
Precision Lawn Service.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. This.
That.
This.
That.
This.
That.
This.
That.
This.
That.
This.
This. This.
All right. Are y'all ready to play this or that?
Yes.
Certainly.
All right. Well, first up, you can only watch one streaming service or cable.
I'll go with streaming service because, first of all, of course, it's cheaper. It's cheaper, and you get to watch more things. You have more options. You don't have to wait for a schedule. You don't have to, you know, you see that your favorite show's coming on at 8 o'clock Sunday. You don't have to prepare for it then. If you already have a favorite show, you don't have to worry about reruns. If you pay for the streaming service, you don't have to worry about commercials, unless you get the cheap one with commercials. But if you get the good, legit streaming service, you know, like let's say, I don't know, what's a show? South Park. Let's say your favorite show is South Park. Why watch the Comedy Central reruns and have to sit through all those commercials when you can just watch them through a streaming service?
What streaming service are you going to watch South Park on?
It's on Hulu.
Okay, so Hulu. Okay.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Just keeping track. Okay, so Hulu.
There's other, you know, I just use South Park as an example.
No, I understand,
there's
others. You want to watch South Park, so we're going to watch it on Hulu, okay.
So I like streaming services.
What if you want to watch Game of Thrones?
You watch HBO, so now okay, you're so now, now what now you're about two, to tell me okay. is if you get multiple platforms, it adds up, blah, blah, blah. It still does not add up to cable.
If you
get the full Xfinity thing through Comcast, which Jimmy Himes supports, by the way, if you get that full thing, and yes, I know you have DVR, you can record your shows, you fast forward all that. It's still more work to fast forward, though, than it is to just watch straight through. So, and then sometimes you fast forward too far and you have to back it up, and then you're back in the commercial a little bit. Everybody's
got commercials. I thought Hulu had commercials.
Depends on which package you get. I mean, you can get Hulu with commercials, but you know,
how much is that to get it out of commercials? Like 15 bucks?
Yeah, it's not much. Still, you're not adding up.
Of Netflix?
You're still not adding up to what cable is, and you're getting more.
You are.
You're not. If you get HBO,
if you live in somewhere where you're actually having to pay for internet, you are paying more money for to have four streaming services than you would just be to have cable.
You're really not. HBO is $16. Netflix is $12. That's
Netflix is $18.
It is not $18. It's like
you sure Netflix
mine's
didn't
$12.99.
You sure Netflix didn't go up on their
mine's
price?
Mine's $12.99. Do I have broke Netflix?
You might.
Is there a better Netflix?
For some reason, I think we pay $18 for Netflix.
Well, you must have like four screens, or I mean, what? Eight screens
know.
Or something.
I don't know.
The average person, I think, pays $12.99.
Okay.
Who needs more than like three screens?
You know anyways, what I mean? Go up. Whatever.
So
Netflix
those
ranges from $8.99 to $16.
Okay.
All right. So we'll meet in the middle. We'll call it $12.99. So that puts you at what, $28, and then
your cable's going to be $60. So I mean, you're already at $90.
Your cable.
Your
internet.
Internet's going to be at least $60.
My internet's $50. Mine's through Comcast. I'll show you the bill. It's $50. Okay. I have $50 internet.
Okay.
So
what
that,
do you got on your router fee for charging? I mean, to like have the modem and stuff?
Have my own router.
Okay. So $50.
$50 even.
Either way.
And then so I throw Hulu in, which I get Spotify with Hulu. I get, you know, mine's $10 a month. So
The point is, Cam, you have to have all these different services to get the same things you want, where I can pay a flat fee of $140 a month, have my internet, get every channel that I want, watch what I want to watch on there. Have the DVR option. I can have five things going at once. I can blow them all through one night. I don't have to wait a day for my shows to be on the TV. I'm going to watch South Park on Hulu. Okay, well, enjoy it on Thursday. You don't get it on Wednesday.
It's available at 1 a.m. New episode airs
not everyone
at,
can
at
stay
10.
Up at
it's
1
available at 1 a.m.
Again, not everyone can stay
well,
up
until 1
a.m.
Well, you can watch it the next morning. You don't have to wait until Thursday.
That's the next morning is Thursday. South Park comes on Wednesday.
You
have to wait on
days
Thursday.
It doesn't matter.
You can watch it then. My sports are live, boom, right on time. It's much easier. Something people don't take enough some people don't give enough credit is how much easier it is to change the channel on cable versus try to toggle different things on your streaming services.
A Roku remote is the simplest thing I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Change the channel.
It is so simple.
Find something to do. Go to Fox Sports South.
What do you want to see?
Go to Fox Sports. Wait, just find something on Fox Sports.
YouTube
One,
TV?
Two,
you
three,
want to go to YouTube TV?
Four.
Those are not
six,
seconds. Those
seven,
are, you are overcounting seconds.
Nine, no, 10.
Those
are, 11.
You,
12.
Seconds do
13,
not go by that quick. You're
14,
supposed to say Mississippi.
15.
Say Mississippi.
16,
we're at like 10 seconds. Say Mississippi.
18, 19. Still loading 20.
Say Mississippi. I can't help how the internet is here. Now, what channel did you want?
24. 25.
You're not even saying Mississippi. First, you want Fox Sports Southeast?
28.
Is that what you said? Or FS1?
FS1 works too. 30.
All
31.
Right.
31 seconds. The plays 30, have already happened. So
that's like
watching,
20 seconds.
If you're watching sports, you're like, I'm going to check something in between a play. You can't do it. You can't toggle between two games because it's too hard to change
to
the channel.
We had to switch apps.
That's what the
if
problem
you're
is
on,
the streaming
if
services,
you're on
bro.
YouTube TV, it's just like a guide.
That's what the problem with
well,
the,
you just referenced watching sports. So look. Now look at this.
Okay, so
we're already – count your seconds now, Mr. Mississippi. I can go from Southeast to FS2, FS1, ESPN News, ESPNU, ACC Network, SEC Network, ESPN2.
Type in the number.
I don't have to. All the sports are right here together.
Much easier. You
don't
can't
act
hit,
like that's hard.
Go hit the return.
That is not hard
hit
to do.
Hit the return back to the other back to the other show.
Why? Are you going to go from watching live sports on a Saturday to watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I go back and forth.
No.
I can do whatever I want on cable.
No, you're not.
It's much easier to change the
channel.
No,
you're not. That's,
live sports.
That's not a good argument.
The cost is basically the same thing.
It's not a good
argument.
I don't
have to have six different options and have six different things charging my card at six different times.
You said you
one
spent
a month. Boom.
You're still spending $100 tops, and you said you spend $140 on cable.
If you have Hulu,
and a lot of people are spending $200
Hulu,
on cable.
If you have Hulu, HBO, and Netflix, you're spending over $100.
No, you're not. You're absolutely not.
You take internet into account. Add it up.
I have added it up.
Add it up.
It's $100 tops, and you say you spend $140. I know a lot of people that spend $200 a month on cable.
That's on them.
They keep adding stuff to it.
That's on
Comcast
them, I guess.
Is Comcast not the worst company that's ever existed? Has anybody ever said anything good about Comcast?
Where's your internet service through?
It's through Comcast.
Oh, okay,
but
so you're a hypocrite.
Well, I have to have internet.
So you're a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm still going to bitch about it and talk about how bad it is.
But you're going to use them.
I have to.
You're going to bend over for them and just take it.
At my apartment complex, I have to use
them.
Okay, yeah. Or else, no, I would not use
them. Hey, Comcast is the worst, Cam, but they just give Cody his internet.
Cam, save money. YouTube TV is the exact same thing as Comcast cable.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. YouTube TV, you can get live TV
at
DVR for $50 a month.
Fast forward on the DVR for me.
Fast forward. You can
go to YouTube
DVR.
TV.
You can use
find
DVR.
Find a game from last night and fast forward to the point I want it to be at. Can you do that?
You can if
one,
if it's already DVR'd.
Two,
we haven't DVR'd
three,
it. What are you talking
four,
about?
Five.
We haven't DVR'd a game. There is DVR. Do you want to see the DVR?
Doesn't work as fast.
I'll show you the DVR.
Cam, we're at a time constraint.
I got to go Cody here.
Thanks, Cam.
Okay.
It's all about saving money.
All right, next up, we have next 5 years, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson. What we've seen from Lamar Jackson's great. It's fine. He still hasn't played at Deshaun Watson's level. Like, his peak hasn't even reached Deshaun Watson's peak. We've also haven't seen Deshaun Watson with a coach, I think, who can build around him. Like, Lamar Jackson has the perfect scenario, and they're building and crafting an offense around him. And even with that, he's still basically at Deshaun Watson's level. Deshaun Watson has a whole nother level to go to, and that's if he gets good coaching. Deshaun Watson can throw better. Deshaun Watson has won things in the past. Lamar Jackson has yet to do that. I will go with Deshaun Watson.
The key here is next 5 years. I think Deshaun Watson will have the longer career, but you're asking me who I'd rather have for the next 5 years. Eventually, Lamar's going to get banged up. I'm sure Deshaun will have a longer career. He won't take the hits that Lamar will. But who's going to be the most electrifying, the most athletic, who's going to make the most plays for 5 years? I'm definitely taking Lamar Jackson, who will be in his peak performance over the next 5 years. He's winning more games right now. And you talk about the coaching. I mean, who knows if Lamar's getting the best coaching. Now, I think Harbaugh's better than Bill O'Brien, but, I mean, imagine if Lamar was in another system. You know, Andy Reid's system, something like that. It's not to say he's got the best coaching, the elite coaching, but I do think they've built a good offense around him. It's showcasing his talents, and he continues to make plays. He's more athletic than Deshaun Watson. He's more fun to watch. I take him on my team. The guy has faced more adversity in his life, and he's shown that he can overcome it. He's got more to play for.
What adversity are we talking about?
He had a rough upbringing.
You know, are we sure Deshaun Watson didn't?
I don't recall any stories about it.
I'm just wondering.
Maybe he did. I don't know.
Did Lamar Jackson come back from a torn ACL?
I just think
that was a lot of adversity.
I think Lamar has always had more to prove, and he's always stepped up to the bar.
Okay, not when he went head to head with Deshaun Watson in college, but
okay. So we're talking about their college team.
I'm just asking.
Lamar played for Louisville.
You're saying he stepped up to the bar.
He played for Louisville.
What has Lamar Jackson stepped up to the bar?
Deshaun played for a juggernaut.
That he made the juggernaut, but that's besides the point.
Oh, yeah, Dabo and the D-line.
Oh, yeah,
of course,
Clemson was a real juggernaut with Todd Boyd.
Oh, yeah, Dabo and the D-line had nothing to do with it.
They were a real juggernaut before Deshaun Watson. Either way, Deshaun Watson's a better passer.
Deshaun didn't have his Heisman wrapped up until November.
Yeah, because
you knew all year he was going to win the Heisman.
Over 70% completion. He's won more games. He's been around longer. Like I said.
He's not won more games. Not this year.
In his career.
Well, you said he's been around longer. That kind of counteracts.
I understand.
He's won more games because he's been around longer.
I mean,
who's winning at a faster clip? Lamar is.
I understand.
Yeah.
We'll see who plays better this weekend. Give me Deshaun Watson.
I think Lamar Jackson.
I think this is going to be, I hate to say it, I like Lamar. I think this is the peak of what we've seen from him.
You don't even want to see Deshaun do well. He's in the Titans division.
I'm putting my biases aside. Deshaun Watson's better. I'm more afraid of Deshaun Watson than I am Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's great. I'm not going to say he's not. I think you're going to see, just like with the Rams offense, you're going to see them, the way they got figured out, you're going to see teams figure out how to game plan for Lamar Jackson and be able to kind of slow this down. It happens.
The key is 5 years. 5 years' time, Lamar's going to do more than Deshaun will. Yes, but I'm giving you Deshaun's having a longer career.
I'm not even talking about a longer
career. But over 5 years, Lamar's going to be by far more athletic. He's going to make way more plays.
By far more athletic. You're acting like Deshaun Watson is a slouch. Deshaun Watson is really
athletic. He's a slouch, but he's not Lamar Jackson.
He's really athletic.
He's not Lamar Jackson athletic.
I mean, it's not a big
– It's not close.
It's not a big gulf.
It's not close.
I'll tell you what's not close, their passing ability. That's not close.
In the end, give me
the guy who can pass better.
In the end, give me the guy that's got a better team around him, a better coaching, and a better system that can showcase his abilities. Harbaugh will be there the next 5 years. Bill O'Brien won't.
I'm looking forward to that day for Deshaun Watson.
There's going to be turmoil.
Not as a Titans fan.
Who knows how Deshaun will respond to that?
Not as a
Titans
fan.
He hasn't faced the adversity like Lamar has. How will he face Bill O'Brien being fired?
He'll probably celebrate and go to
another
level.
Lamar experienced with adversity.
The same way that Jared Goff originally handled Jeff Fisher being fired and getting a good coach. Oh, my God, I'm so good
now. If you're comparing Deshaun to Jared Goff,
then
I don't think you have a very good argument there.
Talking about the leap they made.
I think I wrapped this up, but Cam will probably give you the point so we can get to the third topic.
I got to go with Cody.
We're at time constraint.
All right, Cam.
Last call.
I appreciate it.